Welcome to Living by the Book. Close the door for me, because Welcome to Living by the Book. So in the beginning, we talked about this a little bit, about the manual being about you last class. In the beginning, God said, and then he formed man from the dust, and everything else. In the beginning, God didn't make the Bible. In the beginning, God didn't make principles. He didn't make, he did have principles. He's talking about Harvard. But in the beginning, God didn't make faith or worship or prayer, all these different things. He didn't make those in the beginning. It didn't say in the beginning God created those things. God created a live, living being in the earth and in us. But for some reason, we allowed deception to come in. And I keep saying we, because I want you to look at that and understand how we live on a regular and how we even approach the scriptures. One of the things about, there's a scripture where Jesus, and I might have said it before, where Jesus laid hands on a man, he said his eyes were open. His eyes were open, a couple times his eyes were open. And one of them said it was like scales fell from the eyes. And a lot of times you could be looking at the right thing from the wrong perspective. And although that thing is the very thing that you need, because of your wrong perception and wrong perspective and wrong way of looking at it, you never receive from it what you need, or you never see it for what it really is. So when we talk about the Bible, the word Bible is not in the Bible. The word Bible, Latin word, comes from the word bibliotheca. It means a library of books. That's why you have different books. You have Genesis and Deuteronomy and John this and John three Johns. And then you got, these are books. These are books that are written. These are books that may be about people and may show the lives of people, but they are books. So it's a compilation of books. There are some books that, with the Bible that we have now, the King James Version, it was what we call canonized. What the canonized mean is a group of people got together and decided, a group of priests, old Roman priests in I can't remember the city they got together in the city, had a conference, and decided what books were going to be in the Bible and what books weren't. All right? They literally made the Holy Bible as we know it. Okay, so God didn't, I know there's one scripture in the Bible says that all scripture was given by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and God breathed on it, and amen for that. But we have to understand why we even have a Bible. What is the point? In the last class I was talking, I said, it's not living by the book, right? It's the book is about your living. And I wanted to do this to flip your mindset. The product is not about the manual. The manual is about the product. I remember that part. And so, when we read and we look at the scripture, we realize, and I'm going to walk you through some scriptures with Jesus, all in the book of John. But I want to show you something first. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, and it reads very simple. And I'm going to show it to you in a way that I hadn't seen it before. The reason that Jesus the Christ is the Savior is not simply because he died on the cross. It's not simply because Jesus was saving people before he died on the cross. Think about it. He even told the man that was up on the cross with him, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise." But no, it wasn't no 3 days. It wasn't no 3 days and got up and none of that. How was he able to tell that man that? How was he able to say, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, "I am the resurrection"? How was he able to say that if it was all about the power exchange at the cross? Listen to what I'm saying. Jesus, he had to go all the way to the cross and do this because we believed in sacrifice, right? We were so bent on sacrifice and exchange that there was no way that we were ever going to believe that we had something already. There was no way that was ever, even now after we say all the jargon about, we say everything that we say that's super spiritual, we still don't believe that we got it already. We still are working to attain, working to get. and not working from the power that's already on the inside of us. So if you cannot, Jesus is the Savior because he saves your mentality from a fallen nature of man. You say, what is that? He saves my mindset from just being stuck in ritual or rule or law. In other words, Romans, Paul starts talking about, he said, what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, right? He's trying to say that if you get caught in there, there's another place he said in Corinthians, he says, the letter itself killeth, but the spirit giveth life. If you get lost in the letters alone and not in the spirit or the breathing, remember I said the word spirit means breathe, or the breath of God or the life of God or that it is alive in you, then you'll die in the law. You'll die because the letter itself killeth. Jesus says, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it. I came to show you what it looks like alive. And I read Joshua 1 and 8, and it really hit me. And I slowed down right before this class. There wasn't nothing. I give you a key, man. You can study all day long. You can pray all day long. You can do all these different things trying to get to whatever you think you're trying to get to. But the number one way, and this is the number one thing that Jesus told us to learn from him. He said, learn from me. He said, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. He said, and you'll find rest for your soul. You'll find all the revelation and all the rest in a meek and lowly disposition or stance. And I found out the lower that I get, because sometimes even your prayers and your study can make you up. It can make you self-lifted. You can have a dignity in your prayers. I looked up the word dignity today. And it says you're self-lifting. You lift yourself up. You have to be mindful. Like saying, I'm humble. I'm a humble person. Well, is that really humble? Like, that's not it at all. So in allowing myself to be submitted, and you'll start to see the truth in just sitting down there, sitting low. Right? So Jesus said, don't take the high road, take the low road. And I'm just sitting, I'm reading, I'm looking, because I'm about to walk you through Jesus. I'm about to walk you through Jesus because the manual, we talked last week about the manual being about your life. Now, search the scriptures and you think you have eternal life. So you should search the scriptures. You should go through the scriptures. You should learn them. But I'm gonna change your mentality. Even in our book, our textbook for this class has a part that it says, you know, sometimes reading the Word of God can be like shredded wheat to you, or it can be like strawberries and cream. Some of y'all might not like strawberries, but whatever your favorite sweet is, right? Depending on your perspective, right? And I'm really going to change the perspective today. So now we don't have to be taller and pushing and trying to conquer the scripture, conquer the law, because the story is a wonderful story and it's all about you. It's all about you and your maker. the story is about you and your maker. So the manual I wrote this down, the manual is to understand you and your maker. Think about if you read another manual, it's understanding you and your maker. So it's really telling you how you function. And Joshua 1 and 8 was one of the number one scriptures you have about reading. He says, this book of the law, and at that time it wasn't the whole entire Bible because it was just the law that Moses had. Joshua comes after Moses, so it's just that law. It's just whatever laws they added to the 10, which I don't know where they got the rest of them from, but they added to those 10. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now watch this, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I'll read it again. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you make thy way prosperous, then you have good success. I'll read it again. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. I don't want to skip any words while I'm looking at it. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have success. And I'm sitting there, and the Lord, he started lighting up the word therein. Now, if you don't catch him, some things will be hidden. That's why Jesus talked in parables. He talked in parables because there were things that were hidden in there that the only way you could ever catch them is if you get low enough. If you allow the Holy Spirit, which is within you, to the deep things of the Holy Spirit is within you. Deep means the low. Allow you to be in a low place. You can receive those things that are buried, or things that are hidden, or things that are quote unquote mysteries. And he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. therein that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And he told me, he said, yeah. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou meditate therein. Now you think it's talking about they're in the book. Yeah, but what the book does, if you meditate the book begins to meditate your inside of yourself. For then, thou mayest observe to do, watch this, that you may see to do all that is written therein. It's already written on the inside of you. I'll say this, and you've been coded already. When any programs you got, any phone that you have, any program you might use on the computer, anything you might see on the TV, even your car, like those things have been coded. There's a computer code that makes your phone open up and do what it does. There's everything behind it. There's always coding behind everything. Listen to what I'm saying. Everything electronic, everything you use, there's what you call coding. There's some kind of coding that makes it do certain things at certain times and certain triggers and certain ways. You're programmed and coded that way. You turn your key to call start, it's coded that way, it's programmed. There's coding, there's literal coding. There's literal letters, ones and zeros and letters that are coding the color of your screen on your phone to be blue. Or when you put a new thing, or when you call somebody, there's a code that does it. And the code is what's behind the scene, which makes whatever projects upon the scene. It's like you look at these walls, and these walls are pretty because we put up sheetrock and we paint them and we're cosmetic with it. But behind these walls, you'll see metal frames. In this building, there'll be metal frames and screws and wires and insulation and all these different things. And it's not the prettiest thing in the world, but it is the code behind what makes. There's a beam, this big thing right here, there's a beam right there that's holding this building up. So you gotta make it look pretty, make a little wall out there pretty, but it's really one big beam on the inside of it that's making the building stand from the top all the way to the bottom floor, under this floor, this upstairs. It's coding, there's always coding, and you as well have been coded. We like to use the word DNA. You learn about DNA. DNA tells what your nose is going to look like, what color your skin going to be, and who you look like, and how you look, and the tone of your voice, and the length of your fingers and your hands, and how tall are you, and how all of those things, DNA, you've been coded. Now watch this. He says that you may observe to do all that is coded inside of you already. Thou worried about hidden my heart that I might not sin it. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. He says, I've written it on the table of your heart that is written already. When God breathed into man, he breathed into man. And man became a living soul. He was coding man to his God DNA. So you read the book to observe, to meditate and observe what's written there inside of you. But you won't see that revelation. You won't get it. You won't get it. That's why Jesus said it is finished, and he finishes it. It is not finished for you yet, because you have to be finished. It's like a finishing, like somebody put a finish on something. We're still being finished, because we're being finished, right? The template of the God kind of man, the Son of God, is finished and is there for us to walk in as who we are. But we have to walk in the finishing of it. Watch this. So now the manual, but you won't see that revelation unless you see it from Jesus' perspective. So here's Jesus. I'm going to walk you through it. John chapter 1. Let's walk through it real quick. And I'm going to hit some scriptures that we know already, some scriptures that we don't know, or that we probably you know, familiar with. But I'm going to walk through it. And it's funny that they're in order. Go to John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. We read this before. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word was made flesh. I don't know how many times we got to read this and how many times we got to tell it that the Word of God is a live being. You are the Word of God. The Word of God is alive in you. But you have to study this, search the scriptures, right? We're going to get that in a second. So you can see Don't throw the manual away. A lot of times people throw the manual. Don't throw the manual away. Read the manual, because the manual is telling you how you work. It's telling you your best version, how you function the best. Of course, you can maybe put a table together without the manual, but you might be missing some screws and it might not work as well. Of course, you can use a machine or use whatever you buy, an appliance or something. And of course, you can kind of figure out how it works, but sometimes there's a max. I remember having, I think it was a phone or a computer or something, and I was using it, and I just picked it up and used it like I had the one I had before. And I was using it so much. And then it was years later, I realized that there was something else that would have made my whole processing easier if I would have just looked at the manual and saw the upgrade. I got a house right now, the house I live in right now, I've been in about 5 years, and I have a way that I have my, in my living room, I have a way that I have my sofa set up. I have a sofa, a love seat over here, my TV's here. And, you know, I got, you know, walk out the front of the house and got, you know, so you got lights, I got about 7-8 light switches in there to turn on different lights in the house. And, you know, on this wall right here, and this wall right here, I would always have to get up from my sofa. My favorite spot was sitting in the sofa. I would have to get up and go hit the light switch to turn on the main lights in the room that I'm in. And so I would hit them. I would tell somebody if there's over there, hey, hit that light for me. And I was doing it, hit that light for me. Until just about 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago, maybe a little longer, I'm sitting there, and I'm just kind of laying in the sofa right there, and I put my hand up, and I feel on the wall right behind me, in the place that I've been sitting, and my favorite spot I've been sitting since I got the house, there's a light switch right on the wall right there, and this light switch, I don't even have to get up, I barely have to reach my hand to hit it, and this light switch controls all the light in the room. I mean, it's been there the whole time, but I've been living there 5 years and didn't even know it. The switch was right there where I was, but I kept on getting up to go walk to where I thought it was. Did getting up and walking over there to where I thought it was hurt me? No, it didn't hurt me, but it wasn't as easy. The light switch was right there where I was. The light switch is right there where you are. It's already coded on the inside of you. So the word is made flesh, dwelt among us. John 5:39, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. So he says, no, the problem. I want you to look at the manual. I want you to search the manual. I want you to search it. But I need you to search it with the right intentions. I need you to understand. So understand why you're studying the Bible, right? It's not to be to follow some rules, or it's not to get your needs met, or it's not because you want your prayers to answer, or it's not because you want to be used by God. No, all those things are auxiliaries. They are extra, you know, they call it extracurricular activities. Like the school, the PE and art and all that, they were extracurricular. They weren't the main things you need to know. No, we need to know the main basic course. The main basic course is telling you who you are. Search the scriptures, in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, verse 40, but you will not come to me. It's trying to say you get lost in the scriptures, and because you get lost in the scriptures, you don't even realize what's going on. You never understand that eternal life is right there beaming through you as you live. Eternal life is not a place that you're going. It's a being that you are. John 6:63. You know, it's the spirit that quickens, the breath. It's the spirit that maketh alive. The flesh profits nothing on its own. Watch this. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. In other words, they are not just on the pages dormant. They are not just in a manual. They are literal words that are showing you how you are alive and how you're breathing, and that the breath of God is on the inside of you. But you got to search. You search. Do search, but you have to search properly. Sometimes you can search for something the wrong way. And that's why we never find some of the things that we need to find, because we've searched the wrong way. John 6:63. John 8:32. Right? Let's read this. I don't want to. John 8:32. It says, I'm going to read 31. And Jesus said unto those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Watch this. Verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not set you free. Because I hate when people say that. That's another thing about this class. It's not set you free. He said the truth will make you free. In other words, it'll make you. It's just like he making me to lie down in green pastures. Yeah, he makes you free. It don't set you free, because set you free means you were bound. No, it makes you what you really are. It makes you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. All right, watch this. Catch it. He's saying those things. He's going in line. And you got to go back and study this yourself. John 14:6. Right? Right? He says, you should know the truth, and the truth will make you free, right? And then he says, John 14:6, he says, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So here we go now. He said, you shall know the truth. He said, the word was made flesh, dwelt among us. Right? John 5:39 says, search scripture, and you think you have eternal life, and they were testified to me, but you won't come to me. He's trying to bring it all to him. Jesus is showing you what it looks like. John 6, the words that I speak unto you, John 6:63, they are spirit and they are life. John 8:32, he says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth, continue in my word, verse 31. He says, you know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He's trying to tell you something. Then John 14:6, he says, listen, y'all, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You get it? When we think coming to the Father, we think going to heaven. Don't nobody get to heaven but by me. If that was just the case, then it'll be all over as soon as we say Jesus' name. It's not that. He's trying to show you that you don't appear to the Father, or you don't appear one with the Father, or you don't appear like the Father. You don't function like the Father here but by him. See, he's bringing it all to the person. Then in John 15, I love John chapter 15. He says, I'm the true vine, verse 1, and the Father is the husband. Every branch of me that bear not fruit, he take away, and every branch that bear fruit, he purges, that he may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the words that I have spoken to you. Abide, that means live in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except abide in the vine, live in the vine. No more can you except you live in me, abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Listen to that. He didn't say without the word, you can do nothing. He didn't say without the Bible, you can do nothing. He didn't say without the scriptures, you can do nothing. He said without me, the live being. If a man abide not in me, and I keep saying it, he's saying me for a reason. He's not making it this intangible. If a man abide not in the church, a man abide not in the organization, if a man abide not in the community, if a man not abide in me, how do you live in Jesus? How do you live in Christ? Unless Christ lives in you, he casts forth the branch, and is with the men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if ye abide, live in me, and my words are alive or live alive in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And you got to read John 15 some more. I spend time on these red words, because these red words open up all the rest of the words. I've been trying to pump that to people's heads for years. And for some people, they'd rather read everything Paul said and Peter said. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, 3 Timothy. Well, ain't got no 3 Timothy. Then 3 John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Everything else, when these red words are showing you who you are and showing you the life, I don't know how to get that across anymore. And then in John chapter 17, Jesus prays his prayer. He's done. He's praying his prayers, talking to God. He begins to talk to God about the people with him. And he said, I pray for them that you keep them. I don't pray for the ones in this world. I pray for the ones you gave me out the world. Then he said, that they be me one. He says it a few times. That they may be one as we are one. He's trying to bring you back from your separated mentalities of the Word and God. To John 1 says, and the Word was with God, and the Word in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's trying to put it in a live being form so that you have no excuses to act on something and not be something. I said something a little while ago. In the beginning, God didn't create faith, prayer, trust, worship, none of that. Right? These are, watch what I'm saying, and I'm not degrading them. These are ever since the fall, these are man-defined words, right, that are fixes to the fall. Listen to what I'm saying. And so we're trying to find words, like for instance, breathe in, breathe out. Now we know this air you're breathing, but do you really need to know that the scientific term is O2, it's two oxygens, or two oxygen atoms? Do you really need to know that to breathe? No, you never need to know to breathe. H2O, you didn't need to know H2O was what water was. You needed water. You was thirsty, right? You didn't need to know what that was. But now because we have these words, sometimes words can breed separation, then they give us a definition of something. Now we're thinking about something that's away from what the actuality of what the thing really is, right? And a lot of times faith, patience, worship, all these different things can do the same thing because they're actually the characters of who you are. That's why the Bible talks about the fruits of the Spirit. Fruits come from the tree. I'm the vine, you the branches. The fruits of the Spirit, and so it's the list. That's because those things, the fruit, those are the things that come out manifestly because they're already in there. And so we take these words, and now we're doing all these different things. We're trying to walk by faith and trying to learn how to trust and learn how to hope and learn how to believe. And Jesus doesn't one time say he has faith. He never said, I have faith. Go read it. You find it, email it to me. He never said nothing but I have faith. He never said, I believe. He ain't got to. Why? Because he is faith. He is belief in the flesh. And now when he says, I pray that they be one as we are one, he's trying to say, bring it all back together. Bring it all back together. In their mentality and their understanding, bring it all back together to where it's the one breath of God and not several principles of God to try to get to please God. And then we begin to throw faith and patience and worship and prayer and fasting up to God like darts, like we're trying to get him to accept something because we don't understand that those things are already in us. Does that mean that you have nothing to do? Not at all. But you do it from a different place because it is already in you. And the manual, the rules and the regulations and the steps, they are telling you how you work the best. But if we get there and we just get lost in the law and get lost in the ritual and lost in the rules, then we'll die because the letter itself killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. I hope this, hope I got it across. Amen. Hope I got it across. No.